RNZ Pacific, Nisambulavinaka, I'm Moratula Epitela. A former Papua New Guinea Prime Minister says the national elections must never again be deferred. There have been two deferrals of the issuing of the writs ahead of the poll in July. One to allow the Electoral Commission to cater for seven new seats, and then a brief delay to allow for the state funeral of the Deputy Prime Minister, Sam Basil. The second delay, issued last Thursday, was cut short by the Governor-General, Sir Bob Dade, who was not prepared to delay any longer and issued the writs the following day. Nominations are expected to open before the end of this week. Sir Julius Chan, who is the new island governor, says the deferrals have thrown the nation off course and created a worrying precedent. Fiji's Director of Public Prosecution says the Russian super yacht Amadea should be allowed to leave Fijian waters and any criminal offences should be dealt with by the authorities in the United States. The yacht, owned by Russian oligarch Suleiman Kerimov, has remained berthed at the Lautoka Wharf since last month due to the billionaire's links to Vladimir Putin. The Fiji Broadcast Corporation reports the matter was called before a full court of appeals on Wednesday for a hearing on the execution of the seizure order by the Civil High Court. Director of Prosecutions Christopher Pride says as this is a criminal matter that started in the US, it should end there. Pacific countries have been urged to sign long-standing United Nations conventions to ensure their citizens do not end up stateless. Australian academics have published a report called The Future of Nationality in the Pacific. They want to ensure people who are forced to move because of climate change are not deprived of their citizenship. Refugee law specialist Professor Jane McAdam says signing the 1954 UN Convention of the Status of Stateless Persons and the 1961 Convention on the Reduction of Statelessness would be a good start. She says nations would then need to implement these provisions in their domestic laws.
Ultimately, it's down to individual Pacific countries as to what they choose to do. But our sense is by highlighting where the current risks are, that arms Pacific governments with the tools, with the information, and then the tools to start to address some of these concerns.
More than 1,000 people have now died with or because of COVID in New Zealand since the pandemic began. COVID has been the main cause or a contributing cause in most of around 680 deaths. Only about 160 people in the toll died from unrelated reasons. 140 are still being investigated. The COVID-19 Response Minister, Chris Hipkins, says all of the COVID deaths are a tragedy, but New Zealand has weathered the storm better than many other countries. The Department of Health in American Samoa has confirmed two positive cases of COVID-19 in the Manoa Island of Ofu. The two workers on the Ofu Airport project have been isolated, according to the Clinical Director of Health, Elizabeth Lauvau. She says other workers who were exposed have been tested and, while negative, are being quarantined. Work on the airport has been suspended. The company says its workers who tested positive had been in Ofu for at least 4 weeks. Russia says it has brought a further 265 Ukrainian soldiers out of the Ostoval steelworkers in Mariupol. Kyiv says it will do everything necessary to rescue the undisclosed number of troops still inside. The BBC's James Waterhouse reports from Kyiv.
Ukraine's government isn't keen on saying just how many fighters are left in the Azovstal steel plant, but says it's doing everything possible and impossible to get them out. Yesterday, seven buses were seen leaving the site after 264 soldiers made it out on Monday. As for the hundreds of soldiers, marines, police, border guards and volunteers trapped inside, President Zelensky has urged for patience, saying Ukraine needs its heroes alive. Vladimir Putin claims the captured fighters will be treated in line with international laws. However, Russian MPs have put forward plans to class some of them as war criminals who couldn't be part of any kind of prisoner swap.
A union leader in New Zealand says some employers are getting their seasonal workers to isolate from their own communities. There are calls for reforms to the recognised seasonal employers scheme following a Parliament Select Committee review of a submission alleging exploitation. The opposition Green Party has officially demanded changes to the program, which employs thousands of labourers from the Pacific. Dennis Munger, the Secretary General of First Union, says he has received many complaints from workers.
We're also getting information that some employers are instructing them not to communicate or socialize within their community, so they remain isolated, which is really a concern because some employers are very supportive about their employees. There are also employers who believe that isolating them is the best way because they can stay away from outside influence, which we don't understand.
In sport, Katie Martin, New Zealand's longest-serving modern-day cricketer, has finally called time on her career. The 37-year-old wicketkeeper's 19-year international career included 103 one-day internationals, 95 T20s and one test. Her 169 domestic one-day games is a New Zealand record for men and women. Martin's final game for New Zealand was the World Cup match against Pakistan in March.
I definitely knew just before that Pakistan game that I was ready to give it up, and as everyone says, you're grateful to play one game, but to have, I guess, the longevity and play 199 games for your country is, yeah, it's sort of a little bit mind-blowing and overwhelming.
The Highlanders hooker Liam Colton is to join French top 14 club Lyon on a two-year deal at the end of the Super Rugby competition. Colton has played 8 tests for the All Blacks and has been with the Highlanders for 12 years. And the Northern Mystics netball coach Helene Wilson is stepping down at the end of the ANZ Premiership season after 6 years in the top job. She's taking up a new role with High Performance Sport New Zealand as manager of the organisation's Women in High Performance Sport program. The program addresses the underrepresentation of women in leadership and coaching in top-level sport. That's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.